Hick? My oh my, if the Mets were a beer, they'd be a wild card wheat, always promising a heady start but unpredictable in the finish. Cheers to hoping for those less bitter aftertastes, eh?
Welcome to episode 68 of Mets on Tap, a drinking podcast from barleypros.com talking about Mets baseball. Pour yourself a beer, grab a seat in the bleachers, and have a chat with us. I'm Michael, here today with everyone. Jason, Jay, Chris, hey everyone.
Woo!
Yeah, evening. You know, this is our first podcast of the year where we're watching a Mets game live during the podcast, and unfortunately, the Mets have not held up their end of things. They're losing 5-0 in the sixth on a night where Adrian Hauser looked very hittable and for long stretches of time.
Adrian Shithauser. What's your temperature on the Mets in the first, week and a half, guys, or, you know, I guess thereabouts?
Boy, I mean, they're hot and cold, aren't they?
Better that they won one against Atlanta last night. That sort of keeps them like respectable, I think.
I agree.
They were four and six coming into today, but after that's four out of their last 4-1 after starting 0-5. So, I would say that they're not counting today's results. They're having a good week of late, but
they kind of after the hitting was the problem in the 5-game losing streak, which you expected the pitching was going to be the issue all year, but they didn't hit the ball for those 5 games. And now, you know, the last few games have kind of been about what we'd maybe expect them to be. And they're getting like destroyed by the Braves tonight, which is maybe about what we would expect them to be too.
The broadcasters, seem to think that they expected this game to either get rained out or start later. It's coming down pretty good in Atlanta. They've been cutting to it periodically here. So maybe this is your post big win letdown where they're just not feeling it today.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't win them all. And this Braves team is better than us. They just are, whether we want to believe that or not. And if you can come in here and split the series, I'm okay with that. And especially early in the season when you don't have Senga back yet, hopefully he's back. JD Martinez is still getting over soreness or whatever. So, you know, this team will be better next time we face the Braves, and we'll see.
There you go. Optimism. I like it.
They're built for 500 anyway, right? They're sort of a middling, like that's sort of what their goal is, like stay alive and be able to make moves at the deadline if you feel like you're close. And not getting steamrolled by the better teams is pretty much part of staying in the mix. So,
hey, this is a 100-win team, you know, if you include spring training.
And the season is 200 games long.
Yeah. Right.
and some of the little league, leagues that happen to be the Mets.
It's a dead Neil Nunez sighting. Wow. Have we been live for a Mets debut before? I don't know that we have. That's exciting.
You're ahead of me and I'm ahead of Jason. So
how is that possible? Yeah.
I've got a Chewy commercial. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm still
Chris is in the DeLorean. He's in August now, and we are 6 games in front.
I told you I believed in this team.
Yeah. We could talk about that a little bit, though, is how much out of sync all this stuff is. Like, you just want to watch a game and you want to chat with it, you know, online with your friends at a Discord chat room, wherever it happens to be. And you're all at different places. And it's like, I like to follow along a game day. I like to watch, like, If you have the MLB Game Bay thing up, you can see the actual pitch come in the little graphic on the top left. You can see them warming up between innings. You can't watch all that especially if you're streaming over the internet on like Hulu, like I am.
No,
like I'm a good minute and a half behind game day, and it's like, well, do I really want to watch the game via this little tiny ball that's bouncing around in a graphic and talk about it, or do I want to just sit on my couch and watch it? So.
Do you ever have that issue when you go to the stadium live and you're so programmed to know that an alert's coming to your phone that you're worried you're going to find out there was a hit or a run, but you're actually watching the damn game as it's happening and you're worried that you're going to get tipped off?
I've turned all those alerts off. I want no alerts for just that reason, because 100%. I know that happens.
I don't want the alerts because of some of these afternoon games. I'll completely put the blinders on and come home in the evening and watch it like it's live, you know, and just completely unplug myself from social media. But I found that since Twitter turned into the internet's biggest toilet, that I don't really have that kind of large scale mass interaction with other Mets fans during the game. I mean, we have the Crane Pool forum where some of us still actively participate. I know some of us have kind of moved off out of that platform, but there's a little bit of Yeah, there's a little bit of yeah, and I know that Jake and I are still on there, and I use that for my interactive, like during the game at Shatter. But I'm done with Twitter, and so when they pulled TweetDeck away, I was done at that point.
It's
so
it's pretty a trash platform. I still pop on once in a while for like live Mets games stuff, and I'm on Blue Sky. There's a couple of people I follow Mets wise, but I'm in a couple of Discord groups too. So
yeah, it's splintered and fractured now. It's not what it was.
Well, I guess, man, I'd have to live in a skiff to not know anything about any sporting event as it's happening through the day to try to get home and watch it live. I don't know how you pulled that off, man, in 2020.
You know, my phone is literally always on mute. That's the first thing. Like, I constantly miss calls with texts. Like, sorry, my phone's on mute. I'm not looking at it. And then I have it when I'm at work. I do have my phone in a spot where I can see it, but I have very few notifications turned on. If I get it, I will see a text or a call if I'm looking at the screen when it happens. Otherwise, I could go hours. So I miss everything. And if you don't have any sports notifications turned on, then it's kind of easy. You know, the other thing is I get out of work at 4. I'm immediately going outside somewhere to get some exercise and enjoy the outdoors. Today I went for a run. I went for a kayak ride. It was 77 degrees in Syria. It was fantastic. And so like, if there had been an afternoon game today, it would have been very easy for me to be completely oblivious to it.
You but ran yeah, you have and the, kayak today. You show off.
I did. And yes, correct. That's correct. And correct. Okay. And my daughter was rowing for high school. And so I was mostly trying to get out on the water and surprise her by embarrassing her in front of her teammates, which I was able to do in a fantastic way. So
good job.
Win. Nicely done.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that. Yes. The day well spent. Would have been better if the Mets could, throw it to first cleanly and enough to get ground out here. Yeah. It's looking a little shaky.
I think I can't tell if that was a replay or they just made another wild throw.
No, there's been two of those in this
inning. That was the second one of the same inning.
That was the second one. You know, Beatty's been pretty sure-handed.
When you're not really paying attention, every time you look up and like, oh, they just replayed that home run from the third inning. Did he hit it again? No, it was a replay. Yeah. Just replaying it and throwing you off.
I'll say Beatty last night looked like the prospect girl hoping that the prospect with the reputation to be a great major leaguer. Last night, he looked really good defensively and at the bat. How are you guys feeling at the 10-game check-in about Beatty? I was really worried about him coming in the
before
year.
Or after that wide throw to first right there?
I guess after. We have to take all the current information into consideration.
I'm happy with Beatty, actually.
100%. He's the only guy on this team who can hit right now.
Yeah, he's second Alvarez in OPS. He's hitting .316. He's got a homer, 5 RBIs, and he's shown in defense. And there's been some commentary that he's shown a little more spark in the field. He's acting a little more like a big leaguer who belongs. He's being more vocal. He's getting into it. He's wearing it on his sleeve a little bit more, and maybe that's helping him. But he's still a kid. He came up last year as a very young baseball player, and it does take some of these guys some time to really, find their way. So I'm optimistic. I think good things are in store for him this year. I think this maybe is going to be his breakout season as a Mets baseball player.
Nunez is on right now, number 72. Have we had a 72? I think of Refrigerator Perry. I'm a child of the 80s. I don't know.
There you go.
We've had a handful.
You're spoiling like 3 weeks from now, aren't you? If we look up, we start talking about number 72s. Oh,
wow, there's a lot of 72s.
Yeah, none of them are particularly memorable. Right,
we're not
going
to talk about it. We're going to save that for 72.
Yeah, let's not
save it for 72. I'd like to ask you guys a bigger question about baseball that's not Mets related necessarily, but it is because, Jacob DeGrom has been, the Mets were affected by him and his injury, but the league has been, aggressively marketing all the wonderful stars they have, but pitchers have been dropping like flies over the last couple of years, and it's hard to market the game. And then you have guys like Spencer Strider who just disappear and poof, and they're gone for a year to a year and a half. This is a problem, man. Is there any way that you can curtail guys from throwing 100 and blowing their arms out, spinning the ball with greater RPMs than we've seen in history, and the league is seeing half of their best stars go at risk every night, and many of them go down. I don't know what to do about it.
It's crazy. MLB is young, I think, and a lot of it I feel like stems from these newer metrics that say, it's better to strike guys out. Therefore, you want pitchers who can throw gas, and if their elbow explodes, then just get the next gas throwing guy, and 18 months when DeGrom comes back the next time, we'll start to cycle over again. But yeah, I mean, you know, Nolan Ryan didn't have these problems, right? He went out and threw 170 pitches every 4 days and threw the ball through the padding and whatnot. I don't know what's different really is.
He's just an albatross, really. That's it.
I think
he's
so.
Just an albatross.
Well, yeah, he's a freak nature. Yeah, but the guys were getting hurt in the 70s too. I can accept that. Right. But yeah, no, Jake's right. There's a lot more of that than there ever has been. I don't think MLB has a good answer as to how they can keep these talented baseball players on the field.
MLB as a unit wants to or cares. They're like Jack says, this guy goes down, you bring up the next guy. They don't care. I mean, yeah, you want to market them, but like they'd rather them flame out and just hype up the next guy, you know, throw him up there to the next hot. Yeah, I don't care.
Well, yeah, because honestly, would you rather have, you know, 12 starts of Jacob deGrom where he's going to go 12-0 with a 1.06 ERA, or 28 starts of Adrian Hauser and his 5.8 ERA?
The first one.
You know what?
Can I pick the first one?
Right? Like, and I think that's the bargain that they choose. I think that's the direction the teams go. And because you can catch lightning in a bottle, and you know, the Adrian Hausers are fine. You know, those are your innings eaters, right? You've always had the innings eaters. And those guys are good, but they're not a draw. They're not sexy. They're not exciting.
Well, the other aspect of that is that, you know, these guys are going to have Tommy John, and there's not, I don't know that it's a lot more than it has been in the past. It just, I think, might be more prominent names lately than, you know, when the Adrian Hausers get Tommy John, it doesn't tick your number in your head. Like a lot of guys are going down because Adrian, you know, no,
I don't know. I think hasn't the players union been making noise that since
they're making noise
advent because of the pitch clock. Been more severe injury.
Just because they're making noise doesn't mean there's actually
that doesn't mean anything.
No, I don't think it's just anecdotal though.
It's a little bit of both.
Here's a quick stat from an article from 2018. So we'd have to get updated stats from 1974 to 1994. 12 MLB players had Tommy John surgery. The next five years, 95,
one of them was Tommy John.
Correct. Next 5 years, there were 22. Next 12 years, there were 194 plus 275 on minor league players. So, like, I mean, it has absolutely, and this is just going back to 2018. The numbers are off the charts.
That's crazy.
And so, yeah, it's a thing. Like, it's, I don't know.
But again, the other thing I want to see in real life that. I would love to, and I don't think I've seen a good number on this. What's the average length of a pitcher's career in, say, 1985 versus 2015? Like, are those guys blaming out not having Tommy John or not coming back from Tommy John or having a different injury because they didn't get Tommy John and their careers are now 4 years, whereas now they're 8.5?
I think I saw a stat reading about Spencer Strider that players who have a Tommy John for the first time come back 80% of the time, and players who come back for the second time, it's drastically lower. Tommy John wasn't a thing before. In the 80s and 90s, we heard about rotator cuffs, which you never hear about anymore. And so I think maybe, I don't know if the focus is on elbows now or if there's preventative exercise to keep the rotator cuff in shape, but nobody tears their rotator cuff anymore, right?
That's for old people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how many announced Tommy John surgeries, according to Tommy John surgery list on the internet, announced Tommy John surgeries since the end of the 23 season.
Probably 15 or so. 18.
I think are we at 11 now? I think I saw this number earlier.
I'd take the over. I'd go only just to spite Jason, but I'd take like 18, maybe.
29 pitchers.
That's crazy.
Had Tommy John surgery since October of 23.
Even Ohtani had the under on that.
Sandy Alcantara, Johan Oviedo, a bunch of names you don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you have to read
like
them all.
Like Eury Pérez and Shane Bieber. Like, bananas, completely bananas.
That's crazy.
So yeah, I guess I was seeing a stat the first 100 days of the year that was mad. I guess that's where we are now. Yeah, about the first 100 days of the year. It was about average now going back to like 2013. But again, you know, cherry picking dates there. But that's often when it happens. It happens in spring training.
I don't think the pitch clock is a huge factor. I feel like this was happening 6, 7, 8 years ago too. I think it's just
I think it's all a little bit. It all plays in a little bit. It's the same thing. You go to the gym, you don't pound out 10 reps and then do 10 more reps without resting, right? It's the same concept.
To that note, Mike, like hearing Verlander talk about it today, And he does blame, he's a pitcher and he's injured and he's, you know, he blames the pitch clock. But if you are tired and you're hurting, but if you're tired and you're hurting and you're forced to do a very physical action before you feel like your body's ready to, before you've rested and are ready, you're going to increase your chance for injury. And I don't know if that there, you can quantify that in any way, but yeah. If you definitely have to perform before you're ready to do so, it's going to increase your chance of injury.
I mean, I'm tired and hurting. You know, we get through the day, but I haven't had any Tommy John surgery.
I'm sitting down in a chair and I'm hurting.
My elbow is killing
me. Have you considered it? I mean, maybe it'll make you feel better. I don't know.
I should have Tommy John.
You make a good point, Chris, because I feel like at some point they got to a point where a lot of guys came back from that surgery and felt like their elbow was stronger and that they could throw it harder. And it turned into a thing where it's like, maybe he needs it, but maybe he'll come back and he'll be better after he has it. And I feel like that was kind of like a subtle shift that happened in the thinking around the surgery. And maybe it was 10 or 15 years ago that started to become more prevalent. That, now, I'm even imagining that. I don't have any hard facts.
I remember hearing that too. My guess with that is that they were hurt. They had like a partial tear that was undiagnosed for years
from high school,
prior to. And then when they actually got it fixed, it's like, oh, yeah, that's how an elbow's supposed to feel. Imagine that. I mean, I pitched batting practice at softball. And like, this is to 9-year-olds. I like just basically lobbied it. I threw about 150 pitches and my arm was killing me for 3 days. So,
rotator cuff.
Yeah, it must be.
Mike's old enough now to have a rotator cuff problem. I think that's probably valid.
But the Tommy John is not the death knell of your career if you get that. And especially younger guys, if you're in college and you have Tommy John, you're still going to get drafted if they know you have elite stuff, because that they don't fear that you're going to come back any worse. They know it's going to take time. And
they also don't have to pay you. So.
Yeah, well, this is true, too. And teams are definitely
it's worth the shot. It's worth that flyer.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, anyway, are we sponsored by DraftKings yet? We keep mentioning Otani and the under, and what's going on with our sponsorship? Who's on that?
Not me. Not it.
The Mets tonight are sponsored by Ipecac because they make me want to vomit when they play like this. But maybe we can move on to greener pastures and we can talk about the delicious beers we're drinking today.
I like that very much.
I'm going to show you my new cup if I can. This is the cup I got at Citi Field. We can talk about my visit there, ooh, maybe, if I can make it appear.
Is it a cup or is it a glass?
No, it's, you know, plastic.
Is it plastic? Okay.
It's the souvenir cup you get at you know, when you buy $400 beer from Citi Field. It's this one's Elementary's Random Placement of Things. It's a pale ale, an extra pale ale kind of style. You know, a little bit crispy, a little bit of malt balance. It's nice. It's a standard IPA pale ale style thing. A nice bite to it, nice flavor. I'm really a big fan of that one.
Cool.
I'm drinking, I just got back from a visit from Long Beach, California, which is where I used to live. And I went to my favorite place and I got the Beechwood LBC IPA. And it's, according to the can, it's juicy, danky, sticky. And that was kind of my vibe the whole time I was there. I went to a record store. I instinctively started buying Snoop Dogg. I bought the Minutemen from nearby San Pedro. Fantastic. And I even listened to Sublime, guys. I almost needed like an intervention. Wow.
But, you could borrow my daughter's Sublime t-shirt. I think she has one, I'm pretty sure. So
I think I'm on my way out of it, but I'm still drinking my LBC IPA. And so I'm back. Drinking again. It's good to be drinking a beer on this podcast.
I'm How about yet again I'm drinking a red ale. I keep making plans with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law who are big red/amber ale drinkers, and the plans keep falling through, which means I end up with all these red ales and amber ales in my house. So I would absolutely just be buying IPAs if I were buying them for me. I'm not, but so tonight I'm drinking this is Resurgence Brewing Company. They are based out of Buffalo, New York. This is their Old Neighborhood Irish Red Ale, 5.2%. I've never had it before, but it was a part of a Wegmans Craft Your Own six pack that was entirely reds and ambers. And I hadn't tried before, but this is pretty good. It's smooth. I'm drinking out of a mug from the freezer. And yeah, I like it. Just your standard Irish red. Nothing spectacular, but very drinkable. Chris?
So I went with another half because it's a baseball podcast. And other half, one of our local favorites, and this is their Juice Collector IPA, and that would be a 1972 Topps can design.
Nice.
Which is kind of
cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. Featuring the little broccoli character that is has become part of the other half marketing scheme. But it's much like every other half double IPA. It's IPA.
To
quote a phrase.
Juicy, danky, and sticky.
Yeah, there
you go. I would say it is all of those things.
That looks like a garbage pail kid on the label.
Yeah, it does look vaguely garbage pail kid adjacent. It's a little broccoli with a little drunken smiley face.
Yeah,
on
I would say that would be a shit face broccoli. So that would be
because so broccoli is one of other half's sort of flagship beers. It doesn't have actual broccoli in it. It's just called broccoli. They have lots of beers with odd food names.
Interesting.
And so, potatoes and stuff. And they're very into the green too. They've got like an all green everything, like green.
Yeah, right. And so they took this broccoli character and made a baseball card can out of it. And so I had to get it because baseball cards. So there you go.
And the resurgence can is actually cool. It's like an Irish dude marching in a parade, playing a big drum. And they have some nice can art, actually. I probably should spend more time pondering the artwork on these cans, because some people are going to some great trouble to make their beers pretty. And I just crack them open and pour them down my gullet without giving the proper amount of recognition. Sometimes I'll confess to that.
I'm absolutely appreciative of a good can design. If you're going to, especially if like other half, like it's sort of a theme to it. And most of the breweries now, they have sort of their theme to their designs, which is great. You kind of have that expectation, you know what you're getting, kind of thing.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that. I'm chatting with the folks from Beer Tree tomorrow. They have a connection to the university where I work, and so I'm chatting with them tomorrow. So that'll be kind of fun.
Very nice. The my friends at Willow Rock, one of the local brew pubs, they're the official microbrewery of Syracuse's AAA hockey team, the Syracuse Crunch. And at some point during the game, and my daughter and I were at a game a couple weeks ago, they put on like a scrolling banner that goes around the entirety of the arena that shows all of these Willow Rock can designs. And they have 30 or 40 different, very sharp looking beer cans. And it's just like a parade of these cool, awesome. And every one of them is one that my daughter and I've seen in the fridge in my house, because I patronize their business. They're good to me. So I'm like, it's just cool. It was just ringing around the whole arena that way.
Speaking of baseball themed beer can art, I was on the last episode, I was about to leave to go drink beer from a brewery called Ex Novo. And they just released a West Coast IPA that's called Farm League. And it was meant to be released for opening day, and it was delayed, and they announced a rain delay. But the can is beautiful, and it's baseball laces. And they released baseball themed merch, and they were even doing like a wiffle ball day in their beer garden. Ooh. And I think maybe with Chris, our resident baseball card expert, there, and we all are beer experts, we should be able to highlight, baseball themed beers. Like, that should be in our pocket, boys.
I agree with you. I'm on that same topic. Mike is lucky that he's actually been to a major league game already this year. I've not yet been to a Syracuse Mets game, although today was pushing 80 degrees. I was unfortunately, the Mets were not playing today. They have some games this weekend. I don't think the weather is going to be too cooperative to that. It's April, and I'm not generally optimistic about getting too many ball games in April. I think Chris probably would have the same experience in Rochester. It's a little early for baseball in upstate New York, but hopefully soon we get a nice stretch of warm, sunny May days that we get some baseball out there.
Yeah,
I have not yet made it to a AAA game in Albuquerque. Yeah.
So we can talk about that.
I've been to a AAA game in Albuquerque.
Very nice.
I went last summer.
Instead of coming to my wedding, you jerk.
That's correct. Yes, that is correct. Literally blew off your wedding for a ball game. Sucker.
I would have done the same.
Correct.
Not for my wedding, honey. I love you.
Awkward. I'll be back again in October. So maybe there'll be postseason baseball in Albuquerque. I don't know.
So the Mets have a game tomorrow night, and they have a matinee Thursday. Where are they this weekend? Somebody who's more plugged into the schedule than me.
They're back home this weekend.
They're back home. Who are they playing?
Yeah, I'm not that. I also don't know.
I can pull up the schedule, but I don't have it. We should probably hear from Body too.
They're home this weekend. Oh, they're playing the Royals this weekend.
All right, the Royals.
I know they're home this weekend because of the whole "we need to cheer for Lindor" thing.
Oh, right.
I saw that story, and then they're retiring Doc's number this weekend too.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry, yeah. Body. We'll get to you in a minute. Yes. What's the we need to cheer for Lindor thing?
So there's one of these pundit types around New York City. So last year in Philly, when what's his name? The douchebag shortstop there.
Trey Turner
was scuffling. The Phillies fans, yep. Known for being really sweet and supportive all the time.
Yes.
They decided to give him a standing ovation. And they were like, oh, Trey Turner, we love you so much. We've loved you forever and ever and ever. And then he went on like a 30-game run where he hit 800. Yeah. So the hope is that because Lindor has not had a hit since 2019, that when they come home this weekend, there will be lots of cheers for Lindor and he will be inspired to hit six home runs against the Reds.
Yeah, it was a comment made by a Twitter hack, and then the Mr. Cohen, who owns the team, had a comment of his own saying he thought it was a good idea, and I think that's part of the reason why it's picked up a little bit of traction in the press is that the owner himself is hoping that he's got a lot of money invested in Lindor. I got no problem with people coming out and showing him some positive energy. 100%. I think it's not going to hurt anything. The Mets fans will have all summer to vocally make their displeasure known should it come to that. Right.
I'm a soft west of the Mississippi guy. So we're not booers as it were, but so I've never quite grasped that concept, you know.
I've never booed my own team at a baseball game. I've only booed the other team. I wouldn't boo Mets game.
I see some funny faces in the Zoom, Chris. I see some
booing is my God given right as a fan. Get out of here.
Yeah, I don't boo a lot. I'm more of a situational, but like, you know, you load the bases loaded one out, and you like soft ground out in a double play down 6-0. You kind of get the booze out a little bit, like, oh, that's situation stopped. You screwed it up. Like,
so, Mike, is it cathartic for you? You get it out, your displeasure, or is it meant to be directed at the player to say you need to do better?
No, it's not directed. I never boo somebody in particular. It's I won't generally curse at somebody. Yeah, it's just like boo, that sucked. Like you're
booing the woe of your life is what you're saying.
Like, I disagree. I
like
think
the team as a whole, like you failed me. This sucks. You like, but not like you, Lindor, you should have hit a ball. I understand baseball's hard, but like the Mets as a whole have been playing badly. You just put up a bad show. Like, that sucks. Boo.
Is this like a metaphor for the airstrip post on the crane pool where your life has gone to shit and baseball is your vehicle to happiness or more pain? And so that's how you emote at the ballpark to get it out of your own soul.
I want the player to feel bad. I want them to say, oh, I have disappointed people. And now next time I will get a hit. I am sorry.
There is a venom to Chris I didn't know that existed. And I'm intrigued and also a little surprised.
Because that's the stupid thing about sports fandom. You know, like I will always remember Shea Stadium, game 162 in 1999. It was the wild pitch game. They won the wild pitch. Bobby Bonilla, in his second turnaround as a Met, was hitting like 150. Came up in a big spot late in that game, big pinch hit spot, and we went bananas. We were super excited because we're like, oh, this is going to be so great. He's going to get the game-winning hit. And I don't remember, he grounded out or struck out or whatever it was. The boos were louder. Like, that was one of those Shea Stadium shaking moments because we booed so hard.
Yeah, I must have some sort of West Coast old soul kind of approach to this, because I'm exactly where Jake is. I'm like, what? You're booing our team? Shouldn't you boo Chipper Jones? Shouldn't you boo Bryce Harper? Like, boo those guys. They're the jerks. You know, boo Chase. Boo, don't boo the guys wearing the Mets shirts. I mean, they scuffle. They play bad. I vocalized my frustration. I'm more inclined to sighing and weeping and the gnashing of the breast. That's traditional, like Shakespearean woe is me kind of stuff. It's not, that's just how maybe we all, you know, manifest this energy differently, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the situation. Like, it's the same way, like, you don't do the wave when it's tied in the eighth inning. And, like, okay, if you want to do it, fine, whatever. But, like, and again, you're losing to the Braves one, you know, by one run, and you, like, fail to hit a home run or something. Like, that's a little rough. You gotta support your team then. But, like, when it's like turning point, hey, we're losing this game because of what just happened here, that's when you sort of like, oh, you know, we're unhappy up here, and you should know it.
I will say the Mets on Tap podcast is vehemently opposed to doing the eighth inning wave or any inning for that matter. Yeah,
they did it regardless. So they did it at the game I was at and on Monday. And I guess we let's hear from Buddy.
Yeah,
and then we'll talk about City Field.
Yeah, get this in.
Boom, blue, blue. I've got my circuit sloshed on a beer lively named, ahem, floppy disk flagon ale. It's brewed, you know, in a some far out alcove of the Silicon Valley by sleep deprived tech wizards gone rogue. The taste, is remarkably complex, fluttering grossly between rusted microchip and hints of brewed blueberries. It's something differently special indeed. Burpsy boop.
Yeah, burpsy boop indeed.
Burpsy boop. Fantastic.
Might be our catchphrase now.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Body's learning. Body has all of these human-like emotions and they're vocalizing. Eh. It comes off as Canadian, a Canadian bot.
There you go.
He's a hoser bot.
Yeah. So anyway, they did do the wave. It was a fine game, but
it wasn't a soccer game, right? It was a baseball game.
It was a baseball game.
Okay, just checking.
14,000 people there.
They play soccer at Citi Field sometimes. That's why.
Monday
was that. one of the Tigers games.
Yeah, it was the first Tigers game.
It was the opener of that series.
So you had tickets to opening day. Did you go for the rescheduled opening day?
I did not because it was
Good Friday.
Good Friday, my kids were off from school, and like the whole schedule thing wasn't going to work for me. So I'm not sure how exactly that would have worked. And also, I just started a new job. So I'm like, I put in to take off Thursday and I canceled when it rained. But like to just say, oh, you know what? Now I'm taking off Friday. It just felt like, you know what? I'll just,
yeah,
too much logistics to move around. But
so you went to the park, you got that cup you've been describing to our
yes
audience who is listening and wrapped.
Wow, my memory does not work. So I bought a ticket to get into the club seats because it was Monday night and cold and 14,000 people were there. So I spent a little bit more, but not a lot, to get into like the clubs. And in the club, they had a East Coast Ghost by Ghost Brewing Company, which was a nice IPA that I could not find anywhere else in the park. So I won't be having that again because it's only in the club where you can like look down on the batting cages and see. You know, I saw Alvarez and McNeil and Nimmo taking batting practice and stuff like in the cages inside. So that was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, they filled me up the cup. It was like $18 or something.
How big is that cup? How many ounces are we talking?
I think this is a, was it a 16? It was, I think it's a 16.
Did you say $18?
Yeah. You know what? It wasn't 16. They don't serve 16 ounce beers at all in Citi Field, period.
So you pay for the cup and you get a beer for $18 and then you go and refill that same cup?
No, you don't get to refill a cup. It's a souvenir cup you take home.
Oh, that's the deal.
Yeah. No, that's just how much beer costs at Citi Field.
Not in actuality. At Citi Field. Yes. Okay.
At Citi Field. Yeah.
And ballparks across the country.
You generally Citi get 20 Field ounces. Not... Yeah. Most things are 20 ounces. Even the Coors Light, you get 24 ounces and it's still like $16. It's not great. Everything is ridiculously more expensive than it has been.
Were you buying Coors Light when you were there? Did you use it to rinse out that souvenir cup? Is that why
I should have, right? No, that's $60. That's like buy water for that. I think water's like $7 anyway.
Chris and Jason, how much? I'm sorry, am I getting me? How much are beers at the AAA games in your respective towns?
You can get a tall 24 ounce draft at a Syracuse Mets game, I think, for $10. I'm guessing.
Practically free, 24 ounces.
Right?
It may not be a 24, maybe a 20.
9/11. We're $12 for a can of like Modelo.
Oh, see, these are Cernak out of Utica, which has.
I want to say it's.
What I
want to
say it's very fine beers.
Depending on the beer, it's between 9
blueberry
and 11.
Blonde. They got a pale ale. They got an IPA. They got a lager. That's kind of the. And you can get Labatt's and other cheaper beers for less. You can get cocktails too. They got all kinds of options. But I drink a lot of Cernak at the ballpark in the summer, and they generally have a half dozen different choices, and they're pretty reasonably priced. Except for Fridays. Yeah, Fridays is the two craft beers and a Tigo 100 level ticket for $25 deal, and the craft beer selection is fantastic. They have a couple hundred different cans of craft beer, and you know, you get one in the first inning, you get one in the fourth inning, you kind of nurse them, and you're good to go. That's a sweet deal.
Yeah. No, I just wandered around like just taking pictures of like the beer selection. Just you know, there's not a lot. There's a couple of other, and I don't have them on the top of my head, but you know, there's a couple of IPAs, there's a couple of hard seltzers, there's some like pilsnery stuff, but there's nothing like amazing. Wander around Citi Field, and you know, everything's in big cups and 20 ounces. You can buy a bottle of wine, like literally.
Are you posting those pictures on our Mets on Tap Instagram account?
I probably should. I did post. I posted a lot on Blue Sky and Twitter with at the day of and the day after, like pictures I took and scoreboard nonsense.
So if there are any other Blue Sky users, please contact us. Let us know that.
Probably the last post up there. Yeah.
That's Blue Skies actually hosted in Mike's basement. I don't know if you guys knew that.
No, he's I actually follow like, there's like 10 or 15 Mets fans on there that I like follow that come across my thing. So yeah, there's at least a decent amount of chatter sometimes if you look for it. But
yeah. Let's Rainbow talk about the Rainbow Mets community on Mastodon.
The Rainbow Those Cookie was we could talk so about the Rainbow Cookie.
What topic should we bring up in our last Rainbow 30 cookie, right? seconds?
Did you eat it? I would like to hear about it if you ate it.
I did eat it. It was good. It was warm. That's the gimmick. Is that it's warm?
A pride thing? I don't even know what we're talking about.
No, like an Italian Rainbow Cookie wrapped in an egg roll. It's everybody was talking about it. It was like the Mets promoted that as their marketing thing. It's just a warm. It's a nice, delicious almondy Rainbow Cookie wrapped in an egg roll. Thank you for listening to us ramble about nonsense and rate us 5 stars. Give us, review us, follow us, give us beer recommendations and all that stuff. Let's go Mets.
Let's go beer.